Welcome to the ABCA's podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Brownlee. Coaches, let's talk about your new assistant, Rapsodo. With Rapsodo's products, you can track everything from how fast a pitcher throws to a batter's spin rate off the bat. Rapsodo's pro-level data gives you the power to look deeper into every athlete's skills, helping them take their game to the next level. Whether you want the basic data points or a more advanced look at a player, coaches can customize their dashboard to help identify strengths and weaknesses that the naked eye can't see. Turn the cage into a simulated field to make competition and practice more engaging. Take the guesswork out of coaching. From youth baseball to Major League Baseball, Rapsodo is used by thousands of colleges, facilities, and high schools to help their athletes train. Visit rapsodo.com/baseball to check out their lineup of game-changing technology and how you can implement them into your program. Play on. This episode is sponsored by Netting Pros. Netting professionals are improving programs one facility at a time. Netting Professionals specializes in the design, fabrication, and installation of custom netting for backstops, batting cages, dugouts, BP screens, and ball carts. They also design and install digital graphic wall padding, windscreen, turf protectors, dugout benches, dugout cubbies, and more. Netting Professionals is an official partner of the ABCA and continues to provide quality products and services to many high school, college, and professional fields, facilities, and stadiums throughout the country. Netting Professionals are improving programs one facility at a time. Contact them today at 844-620-2707 or info@nettingpros.com. Visit them online at www.nettingpros.com or check out Netting Pros on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn for all their latest products and projects. Make sure to let CEO Will Miner know that the ABCA sent you. Now on to the podcast. Next up on the ABCA podcast is Corona High School head coach Andy Wise. Wise has led Corona to a historic season, winning the USA Baseball NHSI and going undefeated in league play for the first time in school history. Corona is ranked number one in most high school polls. Wise started his playing career for ABCA Hall of Famer Don Sneddon at Santa Ana Community College before heading to Long Beach State to play for another legend in Dave Snow. After a brief stint in professional baseball, Wise started his coaching career with another ABCA Hall of Famer Dave Demarest at La Quinta High School. Wise took over the Corona program in 2009 after starting the program at Segerstrom Fundamental in 2006. Wise has built the Corona program into a nationally known program from a team that was 3-11 in league play the year before Wise showed up on campus. Let's welcome Andy Wise to the podcast. All right, here with Andy Wise, head coach at Corona High School, but's been with some legends in the game with the places that he was at, La Quinta, Santa Ana, Long Beach, which we'll get into that here shortly. But yeah, just did a lot of digging, so I was very happy to read your bio.
Oh, cool. No, I'm fortunate. I consider myself super blessed to have been the places I've been. I'm just a hardworking youngster that got seriously blessed to be put in front of those guys and ate up what they were saying. So I was with it 100%.
And I mean, what did you learn from Don Sneddon first? I mean, obviously he just passed and he meant a lot to me as a person. So,
Yeah, Ryan, you know, rest in peace, obviously. I look forward to seeing a bunch of folks at his services coming up real quick. But for me, Don Sneddon is a full steam father figure. I had my bumps in the road as a youngster, and it seems that those are the kinds of guys that Don Sneddon liked to take in and try to help be good human beings, good men, good family people. And I like to think that a lot of him rubbed off of me, I hope. And I think he knew how much he meant to me. And so many other people have the same story and the same thing to tell. And Don's role 24/7, Don's role forever now is what it is. And man, he really did. He took me from a place where I was unsure what I was going to do with my life to a place where I had an idea and followed through with it and got a lot of good experiences out of it that I'm not going to say I didn't deserve, but I had a hard time earning just due to my how I was raised, how my environment that I really chose to make some bad decisions as a youngster and just live life and go through it. And he squared me away for sure.
And life's full of making mistakes, but you've got to have somebody that at least tries to nudge you in the right direction.
100% without judgment and without, you know, looking down upon you or anything of that nature, just saying, hey bud, what are you going to do? Here's your options. Here's what you got ahead of you. Put yourself in a good place or put yourself behind the eight ball. Either way, I'm going to love you up and, you know, I'm going to treat you the same and it's up to you. It's your life. And he really kind of, that's what it ended up being. You know, I've got a pretty good, you know, family structure myself, and it's balance and options, man. And he gave me a lot of balance, and he showed me by doing a bunch of things, he gave me a lot of options, what I could and might want to do in my life. So I'm very blessed to have that dude in my life for sure.
Was he one of the first coaches to use Ken Revisa?
Yes, for sure. And I had him, you know, and I'll tell you this on my personal, and my mother's a psychologist. My mother used to put me to bed as a 10-year-old, and I'll just tell you right now, Ryan, I peaked at 10. So she might have had something to do with that. But, you know, as I go to bed, hey, bud, take some deep breaths, see yourself doing it, see yourself, you know, she was kind of geeky with it. I see yourself throwing smoke, buddy, you know, that kind of thing. And I got it, you know, as dorky as it was. But, yeah, and I got to Santa Ana College, and all of a sudden Ken Revisa is coming to our school. We're meeting in the classroom. We're doing his work, you know, for my couple of years that I was there. And then I'll get into it in a minute if you want. But as I got to Long Beach State, it became a requirement. It was a class. We had Tuesday, Thursday night, Ken Revisa, you know, in the student center. So that's what we did. So I was, once again, like I said, incredibly blessed. He's the best of the best too. And I got 4 years of him.
What were some things that Ken was doing with you all that maybe you weren't getting from the beginning? Because I kind of had that same path with peak performance stuff too, where you kind of just blend stuff on top of what you were doing. What was Ken having you do that maybe you weren't doing before you got with Ken?
You know, and my trajectory of being a guy on the team as opposed to kind of just being there, you know, so there's a lot of things going on. And for me, it just helped me be extremely, supremely confident to go out there and do that. And it was based on my work. I knew the people that I was working under and for were doing it right. And if I just went about it exactly how it was supposed to be, that I have every right in the world to go out there and be as confident as possible and go get her done and deal with failure, deal with success even, deal with the moment. And I always felt I was ready for it. And I think that was the biggest thing. I even looked over some of my old paperwork from college, seriously, and it said just that. It was, I've earned the right to be confident. You know, there's no reason not to. And there's nothing wrong with having them butterflies. It's getting them butterflies to fly in formation and work for you. You know. So that's for me, one of the big things.
Is Dave Snow underrated? You don't hear his name at all anymore. And I mean, that's in my sweet spot because for me, no offense to the other Southern California schools because they're all good, but at that point, Long Beach was the best school in Southern California.
Well, without a doubt, we were second to none around here. We kind of ran things during that time, and it might have been a short window-ish, but you know, it goes back to that Wally Kincaid tree of coaching. And that's old school Cerritos, and you're talking your Augie Garritos, your Dave Snows, Don Stens, Hortons, and we can go on and on. If you want to get to the high school game, you're talking myself and Brett Kay and some of these guys. Brandon Hyde with the Orioles is, he's a dirtbag, you know. So we're out there, and that comes from Wally Kincaid. It all started back with him. So it's an honor to be part of that tree. And the program that I run, I was just talking about this to a guy who went to Fullerton, and, you know, Augie's the best. And I'm like, well, I can't say that. I can't say he's not, but I can't tell you better than my guy. Just like you said, I can't tell you better than Dave Snow because he is the best. And yeah, I understand that there can be an argument on a bunch of ends. But yes, I don't want to call him underrated because those who know that he's the best. And yeah, that's it's hard to say that. It's hard to say underrated. 2-time Division I Coach of the Year, you know what I mean? Like, led a bunch of people to do a lot of great things. When he was running the ship, you know, I had the most big leaguers in baseball. Man, just a lot of great things. A lot of great things. And he was another guy that, man, he wasn't a stiff guy. He'd tell you how it is, and he'd have a fun time. And it was a real good time. On top of all the dedicated, detailed things that we did, it was a good time, and he made sure that we were all loose and having fun with it.
Did Dave Demarest come out of retirement because he knew how good your team was going to be?
Yes.
I read that you have him on staff. I'm like, Dave, sniff that out.
I give him a hard time. It's funny because other people have said that. Like, they know. You know, well, Dave's not going to put himself in a position. He's not rebuilding something or anything of that nature. But at the same time, you know, I'm not bringing, you know, Dave along for like the free ride. You know, I think he brings some definite value, you know, just another veteran voice and someone who's got a lot of connections as well is going to tell these guys how it is. And, you know, I'm pretty hard with it, but I can be a softie because you got to judge these guys and their personalities and all that. And I knew I was going to bring a guy in that's just the absolute hammer. He doesn't care what round you're going in or who your mom is or, and, you know, it just doesn't matter. He's just going to lay it on you. And it's been that way, and it's been pretty cool. And the kids, they respect him, they dig him, they kind of have a good time with him. They know where he's at, so it's fun.
Have you had to adjust your personality at all over the years with the newer generation of kids and parents?
Oh my God, 100%. What I've learned, I guess, because we are having some success with this, is if you aren't being flexible and a little more fluid Bruce Lee style, then you're probably gonna rub a lot of people wrong. You're gonna lose a bunch of people, and they're not gonna speak highly of you. And the next person's not gonna want to come here. And so it is a fine line because you know where I've been groomed to do this, and they don't do it soft or beat around the bush. And I've learned that I've got to massage some things and kind of go about it a little bit of a different way without selling my soul. For real. It's a fine line, man. So I'm trying right as best I can to get through it. I know I'm not the only one. So we discuss this as coaches, as you are right now. So it is different, and you got to find a way to communicate and still garner respect and give respect and make sure there's no miscommunication on any end of that. And just make sure they know you're doing the best for them, I think, is what it comes down to.
And congrats on winning the NHSI in Cary, because that's a big deal, because obviously it's, you know, technically it's the best 16 teams in the country at that point. So congrats on winning that tournament.
No, thank you so much. It was a lot of fun. We obviously had a great group. You're not invited out there without that. It is a special among the special right now. And as much as I might have wanted it, or even you if you were on staff or whatever, it really, that doesn't matter. As long as the kids don't want, if they want it, they have a chance. And these kids really, really wanted it. I put it on them. And what do you guys want to do? How do you want to approach it? How do you want to approach the pitching? Is this, are we going for it? What do you got? And they wanted to go for it. They got it. So they deserved it. They earned it. And it was a lot of fun to watch them grind it out and fight and get it done.
Is your last regular season game tomorrow?
It is. Yep. We're Roosevelt on the road. We're trying to go 15-0 in league for the first time ever here. And trying to, you know, we tied the school record for wins before the playoffs already. We're trying to beat that tomorrow as well. And some guys have some individual goals that they, you know, we're looking to achieve. And that's great, too. We're all for it, you know, as long as it's in the team aspect. And yeah, that's it. And then we're going to playoffs. And we got a week to prepare and get ready to rumble with the tough D1, you know, setup.
I mean, how hard is it to win the CIF?
I can't imagine anything harder, you know, because you're going to have – you weren't chosen months ago to make this trip out there, and you could have had a couple people hurt and you're still going or whatever. This is the best of the best, and everybody knows everybody, and you're not hiding anything. And you get hot pitchers out here that can just come beat you. A ball drop, you could go on the road to a weird environment or an umpire that kind of really likes the home group. You just never know how it's going to go. And so you just got to go out there and do it. So it takes, you got to be right there as the best. You got to do it right. And you definitely got to get some luck, because we've been there a couple times as a team. I had a team that wasn't very good that made it all the way to the finals and lost 2-1. I had a team that was really good and lost at Dodger Stadium again. And then this is the best team I've had. You know, people even that group that was the best team, they say, God, man, this is ridiculous what you guys got over there. But I always said all year, you got to go do it. We can say this is the best team, but until you go do it, well, now they've kind of done it. You know, they won the national, you know, they won the Invitational. They're 14-0 in league. They're 24-3 overall at this point. Yeah, now go do it. Go finish up. Yeah. I told him, you already did a great thing. You're for life. You have that in your pocket. You want to be legends. run the table in league and win the Division I title. And you, that's forever. That's unreal. And not many other programs can ever say they are ever going to do that ever. Like it's pretty amazing if we could pull that off. So, and it's just a tip of the hat to all the groups that we have out here in Southern California. It's just so dang good. They run great programs and have such great players. So yeah, we'll see.
You pitched in college. What are you still using with your pitchers?
Probably almost all of it. You know, I mean, Dave Snow, Steve Rousey, these are my pitching coaches. You know, that's who I was working with and dealing with. And you're talking pounding the zone with multiple pitches and your tempo and picking teammates up and who to go to war with and who to maybe avoid a little bit and what weapon to choose and things of those. And of course, all the Revisa stuff, which Snow was basically Ken Revisa. You know, we were all, and so was Don Sneddon. So I just, and I'll tell you right now, I didn't have much of a high school baseball background at all. Like I was, you know, I didn't really participate much. So I didn't know anything when I got to Don Sneddon. And it was just this wide open new world of baseball that I just really fell in love with at that point. I learned it wasn't just 90 feet, 60 feet, 6 inches, 3 outs, you know, kind of thing. Wow, there's so much going on here. And I loved it. So I am all that. I consider myself, you said it, I got to pitch in college. I got to pitch a little bit professionally, and I was throwing 83 miles per hour from the side, getting outs, having success. So I knew how to pitch and knew how to get outs and knew how to do the thing. But I wasn't as talented as the guys that I work with now. Like, let's be real. These guys are humping mid-90s and stuff. So, and it started with Tristan Beck for me. I told him, hey, man, like I like to think that I am the as well-rounded as a pitcher as you can have, but I'm not you, you know, I don't have your stuff. I'm not built like you. So if I can put my mentality into your body, like, dude, that's what I want to do. And he was all about it. He ate it up and he's kind of taken that to the big leagues. He's a tremendous student of the game as well. So he got to take what I gave him and then take that to Stanford and just continue to bloom and blossom on his career, and just especially the knowledge end of it. It's fun to have him come back. And now, as they say, the teacher is schooling up, or the pupil is schooling up the teacher. I get to listen to his experiences and all the new tech and all this. And we've got a few guys in the game at the pro ranks that I love getting to hear come back, you know. And, you know, Michael Hobbs of the Dodgers is just so fun to listen to. And Brendan and Tristan Beck, it's just a blast to hear my spin rate, my induced vertical break, you know, and then this, and then the depth on this. I'm like, okay, so the way I used to say it and how I see it, that's what that means. So they've kept me up on things and kept me current in that tech verbiage for sure. And it's important. I'm a kinesiology major. I can tell you all about the movement of the body, but now I need those numbers and all the tools that these guys have to continue to be complete and to grow as a coach for sure in the game.
How do you train tempo without getting your pitchers to maybe speed themselves up by working too fast?
Well, you just got to check all the boxes still. You got to breathe, you know, you got to get that breath. And so, I mean, if you're getting a good breath in and you ain't out of breath, I guess that sounds crazy, but you're probably going about it the right way. And, you know, you can see a guy when he might be a little too wound up or that. And then, you know, we want him to get back to that focal point. Now go get a breath, slow yourself down, see yourself doing it, you know. And you asked a great question. Like, it goes back to my first answer. Like, I really try to teach that confidence, man. Hey, bud, I believe in you. Look who we are. Look what I've done with my little amount of skill or whatever you want to call it. And, dude, you're better. We trust you. We love you. We put you out there for a reason. I'd never put you out there if you can't succeed. This is for you, bud. You know, go get it. You know, so we try to just, like I said, check all the boxes along the way as you're one pitch at a time. Are you within your routine? Are you getting your breath? You know, are you keeping your fielders engaged in the game by doing it right? So try. And it hasn't been a problem yet. Right. So it hasn't been a problem yet. Somebody working too fast, maybe get a little too amped up and get going. But no, let's see it. Somebody come show me they're working too fast. I want to see that one. As long as you're getting out, sweet, I don't care how you get it done. So, yeah.
And you're letting your pitchers and catchers call the game.
Well, I mean, we are blessed with Josh Springer for the last 4 years, and he seriously is the MVP of the group for the last 4 years. Without him, This team is not what it is. The pitchers aren't what they are. Josh got every inning of that Invitational out in North Carolina. He's got every game this year. He gets destroyed, foul balls, crushed by runners. He gets hit more than anybody else on our team as a batter, and he wears it like a champ. This is a professional ball player. This guy's going to play baseball for a super long time. And he doesn't even have to be behind the plate. He's definitely athletic enough to move to a corner spot. And he's going to hit, obviously. I let him call the game, and he looks over at me, and we have our little secret language somewhat that we speak. And if he needs a helping hand, then I yell back to him. We're not doing the walkie talkie. I'm not even giving signs anymore. He might look over at me, and I'll give him a little. It might even be a mouth something. But we have our own little ins and outs that we've been doing for the last 4 years, and we work great together, and we are pretty much totally on the same page. And if there's something ain't right, and this is what's been great about it, is we'll come in and have that conversation. So this is I'm really good. I like to feel it calling pitches. So this is something for me that it was kind of tough to give up, but like I said, this is my favorite guy, man. I have full faith in him, and I kind of wanted, if somebody's going to go fail to get better on my watch, it's going to be him. You know, he deserved it, earned it, and he's ready to go be somebody else's guy. And I look forward to watching that happen for him. He deserved it and earned it. Yeah.
Did I read where Seth Hernandez was homeschooled?
Yes, this is the first time he's really been in a high school setting or program at all. So, and he's been phenomenal. He's been amazing. He's a trooper. He's a champ. He's a tough kid. He's ready to go 24/7. You know, when you got an arm and a body like that or whatever, I want to take it easy on him. I'm not going to be the guy to blow that guy out. You know, I'm going to, what do you need? And you usually think like, okay, Seth's not going to, maybe I shouldn't play him today. I should DH him. You know, maybe when he pitches, he needs to hit lower in the lineup so he can focus on pitching. Maybe he needs a day off. Oh, God, no. You know, this guy, where am I at today, coach? I'm taking pregame, too. I'm like, dude, no. Like, well, come on. So it's fun to get to slow guys down as opposed to try to motivate them or whatever. That guy needs zero motivator. The team loves him. He's way more athletic than I really thought he was. I knew he could pitch. You know, we knew that. But, man, he rakes, runs, competes. Is a great teammate, loves the guys. And when a guy like that, that's that talented, loves you up and speaks highly of you, I think that helps you as an individual, you know? So he's really helped a lot of our guys. When Seth, I heard it early in the year, we have a young lefty, Mason Sims, we're trying to, he's a freshman and we want to see if he could mix in with the group and whatever. And he comes out and he has a nice performance in the fall. And I hear Seth Hernandez say, yeah, that Mason, he's a dog. And I said, he's in. Mason Sims just made the team. You know what I mean? Like, he's in. And I would just imagine, if you're in his shoes, to hear that guy say that, that just makes you that much more confident, bigger, and better to want to go kill it for your guy out there who's loving you up, and he's already a dude. So any recognition from that guy obviously goes a long way, and he's just been a great teammate. He's a great kid. Coaches love him. Opponents love him. Seriously, I've run into so many coaches and they all want to say, yeah, I coached Seth Hernandez when he was a kid. They all probably did, in some way, shape, or form. Because and everybody loves the family. They're just, it's a really good family, good group. And whatever they've done so far, they've done a good job. So I like to hope to help complete that as he goes on to his next phase of life and he'll have success at whatever it is.
Was he just doing travel then before high school?
Yeah, he plays for BPA, and I just, like everybody else, saw some video of this kid, and the reason he kind of, we obviously run a good program, and he wants to come be a part of a good program, and there's a bunch of good programs around, though. He had his choice, obviously. He could have gone anywhere he wanted, but we do have a couple kids that are really tight with him and the family. I already talked about Josh Springer. Seth's dad has sent me pictures of little Josh and little Seth, as they used to be the shortstop and third baseman for their little league team or whatever, little travel team. They're awesome. And Billy Carlson and Seth and those families are really tight. And we're blessed with having Billy and his family as well. They're just really good people. And Billy's a great kid and obviously an incredible talent. So we're blessed with just those guys. And they've turned out to be really good kids.
You know, with your roster and the amount of guys you've got going to good programs after this year, it still shows that if you're good enough in high school, you're going to get signed to go to a Division I school, correct? Because people are bellyaching about the transfer portal and NIL now. And I think if you're good, teams are still going to take you as a high school kid.
You're still going to get a chance. But once again, you got to go prove it. And it might be a little tougher now because, like you said, the NIL money, the portal, you just go pick somebody up, a man of 22 years old or whatever, who's looking to make that maneuver as opposed to working with a new 17, 18, 19-year-old kid. So I do understand. But once again, you know as well as me or anybody out there, like if you go out there and perform, you're going to earn that time and earn your opportunity. So it is a little different. I don't know if I'm glad I'm not involved in that landscape, man, because I hear a lot of the horror stories and it has changed. But so is high school. You know, there's the control is different. I don't want to call myself a former controlling type coach, but I had everything going, and now you really got to be a little more flexible. You need a little more time throwing. You need a little more this or that or whatever, and you know, kind of got to be that way. And I think it's like that probably with the college coaches, from my understanding too.
How are you managing workload with the travel process and maybe kids having individual instructors? How are you managing workload with those guys?
Well, like I said earlier about Seth, like I really, really don't want to be the guy to blow that guy out. So communication is key, and it's not going to be my decision necessarily. I need to know where you're at with what you want to do right now. Are we looking for a light day, a big day? Are we ramping down? Are we building up? And when you're in this program, at least, you know, just please, you have to communicate with me what you're pitching. You're outside of here. You just got to let me know. You know, my ego dictates at this point that I can share. I really can. You just got to let me know what's going on. Like, hey, I need to talk, you know, please talk to your guy about when you get to this point, you know, whatever it is, you know, you're spending on this or that, discuss it with them. And I'm pretty flexible again to work with some people because, man, when COVID hit around, I really think that there was a lot of people trying to find a way to stay in the game and be more involved. And, you know, a lot of people trying to make money, and a lot of people got in financially and emotionally invested as families and stuff. So the people that need that need those people more than me. So they've worked really hard to build those relationships with those people. And I think if I were to be the guy to break them, I'm once again losing, you know, those folks, because that's important. You know, so I need to be flexible and let that happen and do my best not to, you know, get out of my mix, buddy, you know, like and do the best with it I can without being that overbearing, controlling coach.
I'm repping my U of E shirt today. I'm on a group chat with a bunch of UE alums. One's an 11-year big leaguer, Jamie Carroll. But we discussed the other day, I threw this out. I'm like, and this is going with the big league pitchers getting injured. Do you think guys run and throw enough now?
Wow.
And I'm not talking about high school. I'm talking at the big league and college level more than anything. Because I just remember how much we ran and threw, not off the mound, but through. I don't know if guys do that enough now. I'm not a doctor and I'm not a trainer, but I have my thoughts on why guys are getting dinged up. Yes, they throw a lot harder now consistently, but I have my thoughts on why.
I think that might be where it lies. I just think I don't know how much the running is going to help or hurt. Remember, I ran too, just like you. You know what I mean? I ran my ass. For sure.
They're also going to say, well, he threw 83 miles an hour too. So maybe they're
right. Hey, exactly. What can I say? But I was healthy, you know?
Yes.
And I pitched every day. What's up? But, hey, you know, that's kind of a thing too. Like, are we trying to force these guys instead of throw 97 every few days? Do we want them to throw 92 every other? Do you know what I mean? Like, dude, am I going to wear the end? For me, I'm trying to set these guys up for success down the road. This is high school baseball. I got to remember I'm a high school baseball coach, get over myself somewhat. And I don't need a guy to fight for me at 92 when he's got 97, if we just give him proper rest and all that. I'll let the pro and the college guys figure that out down the road, as he also puts on a little more man muscle. I mean, he's not 16, 17 anymore. He's 18, 19, 20, 21, and he can maybe wear that a little better. So I don't know if it's the running. I don't know if it's the throwing. What I do think is when you put your young 10, even older tendons, ligaments through the stuff at that rate, at that force, we are all asking for trouble. Remember, how many weighted balls did you throw? Because I didn't throw one. Do you know what I mean? I did all the Job exercises. I did my cords, but I was not throwing a weighted baseball or doing, you know, that type of exercise. And I really do think that's helped velocity. But at the same time, if your mechanics are off by a bit or even perfect, you're putting yourself at risk by driving that car that fast. But that's what we're trying to do. So I don't have the answer. What is the problem? You know, how can we tighten that up? I just don't know if doing all the work that these kids and men do at this game to throw that hard, I just don't know if running is going to be the answer to stop the injury bug. You know what I mean? I wish it could. Hey, go run. We're going to be fine. That'd be great. But
I do remember the heavy, heavy silver ball. That was the only thing that I ever remember seeing growing up in high school and college, but it was more for holds. You weren't throwing that thing. You were just holding on to it and moving your arm. You weren't throwing it. You were holding on to it, though. But that thing, that thing felt like it weighed 50 pounds.
Yeah, and I was scared to death of that thing, too. So I stayed out of there. You know what I mean? In retrospect, of course, I wish I would have done some things, but nobody was doing that. And my time right there, nobody was throwing any weighted balls or anything of that nature. Not until I got to pro ball did I see some guy who did the whole Dr. Mike Marshall thing, which blew me away. That's a whole nother discussion we can have on. I think it's unbelievable and possibly the future of pitching. If you really look that stuff up, to have a guy with his foot pointed forward, I'm just saying, like, don't bend the knee. There's some wild things. I watched a guy have success throwing tremendous stuff. Mike Marshall threw, 100 and some games in a season? You know what I mean? Like, so we'll see. And it's hard to sell. I'm not selling it. I can't. I've had some great discussions online with guys, and I never tell them they're wrong. Because, but don't tell me I'm wrong either. You know, like, you can't tell me that yet. But I'm not telling you no, dude. I'm listening, and it could be down the road the way to go. To engage the lat more, the glute, the lat, the bigger muscles, and the way to go about it's, you know, drive. Have your drive line is what that originally was, and now that's manipulated into something totally different. So, like I said, we can go on forever. This is an interesting, fun topic, and
We used a little bit of the Mike Marshall just as a pre-throwing deal with our pitchers. Just I think it helps with release points. But then we did use weighted balls towards the end of my career with our guys. But we used it as general fitness. We weren't using it as velocity training. We were using it as general fitness, arm fitness, to build the arm up. And that's what we explained to our guys, that like, hey, half of you might lose velocity doing this. Half of you might gain velocity, but we're going to do this for an arm health. If we feel like it's going to keep your arm healthy and you keep healthy, and we kept our guys never got hurt, but they also threw a lot on the side too. Like they, you know, and we got after it in the weight room too. Like we were extremely aggressive in the weight room, but we got after our throwing. I was on them about throwing enough, long tossing enough. And I think the long toss piece was the biggest portion with our guys' arm health and arm fitness, is that we were diligent with our long toss program.
I agree. And throwing, as you said earlier, there we did. When driveline got kind of hot and all that, and I had a coach who was all about it. He was certified, and he was very excited about it. The kids got excited, and we did the dang thing. We charted it all. We went light to heavy, heavy to light. We did the whole thing correct. And, yeah, we had dudes that could bounce back like they were. So it wasn't necessarily we weren't throwing 100. The velo wasn't tremendously the uptick. But what the uptick was, man, like guys would come to me and say, Coach, I can pitch today. I'm like, no, you just started 2 days ago. Like, no, but I'm good. Like, cool, good. You know, I felt that was the driver behind it, was the drive line. Of course, we were throwing and we lift heavy. And, yeah, that's just ingrained in the program. We're going to be a physical group for sure.
And the Mark Pro. I felt like the Mark Pro was the machine that helped our guys post-throw more than anything to get blood flow back to those areas.
Yeah. It's unreal, like what these kids have, you know, and even the kids now, you know, they go to a place called Futures in our area. It's a high-end tech warehouse spot that works with a lot of college and pro guys, too. And so I'm learning about how all our guys are going about that, all their recovery. Recovery. It's a huge thing. That was never a word. You know, hey, recover, run. Run in ice. You know, Shut up. Now it's everything. It's all the way down to nutrition and so on and so forth. So I really wish I had that when I was growing up. So I'm once again trying to learn. And there's so much more going on out there. So just staying with it.
Any unsung heroes on the team? Anybody you didn't expect coming into the year that has shined for you guys?
Man, I really think pretty much everybody's done what I figured they would do. You know, if anybody, it's the freshman kid, Mason Sims, you know, who has gotten some very big innings, you know, and some important things and just stepped up every dang time for the most part, just been really good for us. And it'll be fun to watch him grow in the future. Otherwise, you know, all our pitchers are doing exactly what we thought they would. Jake Skelsky as well at the bullpen has just really picked himself up and has been phenomenal the back end of the season. We expect big things from him. Man, who do you say? How can I say that we didn't expect Anthony Murphy to have a good year, or, you know, Sam Burgess is not going to hit, you know, Brady Ebel, Billy. I mean, we got a really, really good group, and they've done nothing but live up to what they said they were going to be and expected to be. So pretty cool. I can't call it. Their attitude, it's been great. So if you want an unsung hero, it's the camaraderie, or the, you know, whatever you want to call it. They really support each other, and there's been no beefs or bitching about much of anything. And they want to win together. They're truly a group. It's one of the best groups I've ever had as a team. You know, it's not just talent. They just really appreciate each other and like each other. And of course, there's some things that as a team I would like to do better, or whatever the case, but they definitely support each other and really pull for each other, and it goes a long way, especially in the high school level.
We talked about this with some of our travel committee members last week about how different the California schedule is because your guys' season ends earlier. When do you typically shut those guys down from throwing?
I don't anymore. You know, like I said, I used to have full control command, and you have so many things pulling these kids away, especially if you got the high-end dudes. Like, I would never say, hey, Billy Carlson, need you to shut it down in your best interest, but coach, I'm going to whoop whoop la la. I've invited. Hell, I've never been there. Good for you. You should go there. How fun you're going to play at Milwaukee Stadium. You know, and all this stuff. Like, so I really. It's a discussion between me, family, advisor, kid, as to when, what, how. And there's just so many great experiences for these high end guys to go have that I think it'd be silly of me to try to dictate what they do and don't do. You kind of got to leave it on them. And I guess what's happened for me on that end is they know that I do have their best interest, because I'm proving it. And then when it comes time for me to kind of need them, like in these moments, they're all the way in. There's no question about it, you know, that I'm still taking care of them and that I've given them an outlet to go be the best in a good environment. And they like to go prove it. So I'm happy with that. Go prove it. You know, go do it.
Where do you start in the fall then when you get back going? Obviously, you knew you were going to have a good team, but a veteran group, did you tweak anything this fall with them, or was it similar? Because obviously, they've been with you for a long time. So did you tweak anything, or was it very similar this fall?
No, this was different than any other. And it was different than any other in the fact that we spent 2 days a week in the fall in a warehouse. So guys getting the full swing tech. And guys who we felt we were, and it was a whole program. I'm talking, we got 54 kids in our program that were going over to the warehouse Tuesdays and Thursdays, and a little more than half of them were getting strength. They're younger. I mean, it doesn't matter how your swing is if you ain't got the juice to back it up. So a team, and then kind of a individualized plan to strengthen these guys up. And the guys that we had working in this facility were actually former opponents of ours in our league who we respected, or I did as a coach, and they respected our program. So they're in there working their tail off for our guys and really championing them and supporting them. And it's been really cool. I love those guys that work in there now. I really appreciate what they're doing and how they're going about it and their energy. And so that was kind of the thing. But once again, right, we had to, you can't be a warehouse player. You can't be a warehouse baseball player. I call them warehouse warriors. You got to be way more than that. You got to be an outdoor cat, man. You better get in the dirt. So, you know, you learn your swing a little bit in the warehouse and how to maybe get a little more bat speed or a little better angle of attack. And then now let's see how it squares itself out when there's actual dude spinning the ball to you or whatever the case might be. And I think that's what's happened for us. There was a little bit of struggle, as there should. You're making these adjustments. But guys figured it out, saw what kind of the old school coaches are talking about to go with the new school tech. And I think it's worked out really good for some guys, obviously.
I mean, how do you blend that? How do you blend the new school with the old school? Because obviously you need a good swing. It needs to be on time, but you also have to be able to hit situationally.
Well, yeah, you go into the lab, we'll call it, and you get yourself right with your angle, whatever it might be, whatever your thing is. But then you got to come out and prove it. So if there's a huge struggle with something, well, let's take it back to the lab, manipulate it a little bit more this way, because it ain't working in the real world. Like, hey, when that machine is pumping you zeros at 82, you know, like, yeah, you're absolutely launching it out of this cool Dodger Stadium video. But now there's a guy out there that is not on time all the time. It's not exactly right. Why are you rolling over? And why are you getting beat by 82 all of a sudden? So let's figure out what it is and put it back together. So it's old school eyes and new school camera tech and verbiage, as I said earlier. And let's put it all together. I try to stay in the middle. You know, I got some old heads and I got some new news, you know, who that's basically all they know and want to talk about. So I try to stay in the middle and don't poo-poo on either. So I don't get bads on either side and try to tell them what time it really is. Try, I said.
Do you have youth feeder programs into Corona?
You know, we never really have. You know, we kind of had one of my coaches a while ago, his son was coming up, so he would just run a group that they would just practice a few years ago. And a few of these kids came in from that, but we really don't. And I don't know if it's a negative or a positive. We're obviously doing pretty good for ourselves. But for me, what I've learned is, you know, if you build it, they will come. They're coming. It is. We run a good program. So you kind of, there's a lot of kids who do want to be here, but when you make commitments, like we have, there's other teams in our league. I think every other team in our league has a feeder or a travel ball team that they're kind of connected to. And you're walking another fine line here. You know, people have paid a lot of money and invested a lot of time and energy, and you've had them for a while and they think you owe them something, and you might think you owe them something, or and he plays because he's in the travel ball program. He don't, why is he playing? He didn't, he's supposed to. I don't want that. I don't want that. Yeah, you're going to come here and you're going to earn it or you're not. And it ain't because you've paid my rent for the last couple of years, you know, or whatever. It's just never going to be that way. We don't owe anybody anything. Nobody owes us anything. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what color your hair is. Are you on time to practice? Can you get after it? Are you figuring this out? Are you a good teammate? We're good. You know, that's what we're looking for here. So flexible again, or I'm telling you, I just want to be like water. I don't want these. I don't want to head up with everybody all the time. I'd be fighting everybody if it had to be my way.
How much involvement are the parents? I mean, how much communication do you have with the parents? Do you have a parent meeting before the year? Do you communicate much with the parents?
I have a huge parent meeting before the year, and I try to square it all the way as to what the expectations are, what we're doing, how to go about things, if when and if they're not right, how to behave, how to act. You know, for real, like I try to just lay it all the way out there right away. And then going forward, I tell them, though, you don't need to be bugging me and I don't need to be bugging you. I do have another coach that's been a tremendous asset to me, Coach Jason Sir, that's kind of been my communications guy this year, even between the kids. You know, he's got, you know, he's group mass text to the freshmen, mass group to everybody. Here's varsity parents. Here's the booster club. And it kind of keeps, you know, somewhat of a buffer. Not that I need, you know, don't want to be dealing with these people, but there really is a lot. I find myself more of a manager than a coach these days, right? Seriously, like just kind of making sure everything is going right. I've hired some tremendous coaches that I have faith in. You know, Gary Patchett, longtime dude, runs my infield. You know, like you said, Dave Demers is right there. I've got Keith Powers, my hitting coach, been with me for the last like 12 years. There's a former Corona, you know, Panther himself, Jason Sir, my communications guy, is a former Corona Panther himself. I have another former guy who went to CBU to play for great coach Gary Adcock after he played for me. who helps us out with the pitchers. Another college coach, Kyle Hatton, who, you know, been a former college player that comes helps with our pitchers. So I got tremendous support system, and go get them, boys. You know, like, I have full faith to let Gary. Gary's better than me at working with infielders. I'd be a fool to get in his way. Like, what do you want to do, big man? You know, you go do it, you know? So the buffer is once again, when I say I got some super old school heads, and it's Demarest, you know, coach has been there and done that and had a ton of success, obviously. So he knows what works. But once again, like you said, times have changed and there's an evolution. So I gotta talk him off the ledge sometimes. He wants to lay the wood. You know, I gotta, easy guy, easy, slow down, coach. But it's been fun. And I like it. And I appreciate it because I'm that way. I've just changed. I've changed. I've been in it. He's been away for a minute. So I've changed. I hope for the better.
Does the Booster Club take care of most of the fundraising then for you?
Yes. Yeah. We've had a tradition of a pretty dang good fundraiser, a good Booster Club for, since I've been here. It's been really, really good. And, you know, it's evolved. We raise a pretty good amount of money. We get a lot of support in the community. We're the lowest income school in our district. Like, we're at the bottom of the hill, you know, there's top of the hill school. So for us to be doing this is pretty cool, especially as a public school, as I said. And we get a lot of respect in the community from businesses and all that as well, because, like I said, we are Corona, and we're Corona. We're not Corona this or that. We Corona High School. We're the oldest school in the district. Everybody whose mom went to some of the other schools in our district, their grandmother went to Corona. You know, like, so there's a family tie for any long-term Corona citizens right there, residents. So it's pretty cool. I like that. I like to be that group, and I think we represent them that way as well. We're hardworking, no nonsense group. And we have a good time.
Do you have a fail forward moment? Do you have something you thought was going to sidetrack you, but looking back now helped you move forward? Could be personal or professional. I know you talked about before you got to
say that one more time. Ask me that one more time.
Fail forward moment. Something you thought was going to set you back, but looking back now helped you move forward. Was it obviously maybe some troubles before you got with Coach Sneddon?
Oh, me personally? Oh, heck yeah. Without Coach Sneddon, I don't know what happens to me. Seriously, I'm wearing a hard hat, and I got a lunch pail, and my back hurts right now because I'm 52, and I still have to work with my hands probably because I didn't do anything, give myself those balancing options to where I have the luxury to meet with you at 11 o'clock on a Zoom meeting. You know what I mean? It's all good. I had great family support, but I was out there doing some things and I really, my friends were doing some things that weren't setting themselves up for success down the road, but we were having a good time. What do they say? Laugh now, cry later. And I took it to heart a little bit. Like I said, Coach Sneddon, he showed me, you know, some the road, the path, and here, if you want it. And if you look at me, I might as well be Don Jr., you know what I mean? Because here I am in the coaching game and helping the same kind of kids that he did. And, you know, I like to think that I'm out there not puffing my chest out, you know, banging, you know, look at me. Like, I really think he was the same kind of guy, kind of low profile, didn't need all the attention. You didn't hear too much about him. And he rubbed off on me. And I'm very thankful for that man in my life. Dead for sure. Seriously. I got a great text the other night. I was in North Carolina and Dave Snow texted me he's my guy. I love the man to death, but it's not like he texts me all the time. And he texts me and he says, I almost started crying. Seriously. I'm in my hotel room. And he says, I'm very blessed that Don Sneddon led you to me. RIP Don, Coach Sneddon. And I was like, oh, geez, here's my guys. Like, these are, if I got two other dads, they're that's who we're talking about right here. So, and he's like, hey, just, you do know that Coach Sneddon was super proud of you and what's going on. And so am I, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, thank you, man. Like, thank you. So that, you asked that question. I think that's the one. Like, I could, and if you want to know this weird story, I was not recruited to Santa Ana College. I had a high school teammate that was recruited to Santa Ana College. I just went with him. And Don Sneddon looked at me like, who are you? You know, like, who are you? Seriously. And he couldn't, he promised me zero. He didn't even, nothing. He said, well, you know, I don't know you, so you can come to the summer class if you want. And I did. and I never left. You know what I mean? Like, I just never left. So I loved it. I was some weirdo that was with a friend. That's how I kicked the door in. So don't tell me you're scared to go do this or that or whatever. I walked in there and asked and received and earned it, you know, because I was nothing. I redshirted in junior college. Don't tell me I don't love the game. You know what I mean? But here it is. Once again, I got to be 5 conference championships, 3 Orange Empire conference championships, Santa Ana, back-to-back Big West championships over Cal State Fullerton and all that good stuff. So I'm super blessed to be with the groups I have there. I still have long-time friendships with many teammates from both programs and even guys who I didn't play with, guys who might have played before or after me. That, man, I've become really good friends with these people, and it's pretty cool. It's a good brotherhood all the way around. And I like to think that I've helped build this here where it is a good brotherhood, where I've got older heads coming back in, and I've got Tristan Beck coming and talking to Ethan Schiefelbein. Like, I've got pictures. It's really cool to see. Like, they're off to the side, and then it's like, dang. And there's Tristan Beck schooling up freshman Ethan Schiefelbein or whatever the case, and you can look back, and hopefully it just keeps on going over and over, get to the next guy.
Is that part of the reason why you wanted to get into coaching? Because I think all of us that got into coaching had good coaches along the way that kind of showed us what a coach could do for somebody.
Yeah, you know, I think honestly that I'll be real. That's kept me in it, because what got me into it in the first place was, man, I like summers off. It's a good paycheck to be a teacher. You know what I mean? That was the goal, to be a teacher. It's a nice, comfortable living and secure living. And my mom's a teacher administrator. And I knew that my background as a coach was going to help me possibly get my foot in the door and get a good job. Now I could quit and I still have a great teaching job and all that good stuff, and I could be done with it. But it is being able to help some people get to the places they want to get to it does drive me. It's fun like that. It's fun to give those people the good advice, the good word, and put them around other people that can help them as well. I like that. It's not all me, that's for sure.
Being a kinesiology major, do you work out a lot?
Well, according to my boiler right now that I'm rubbing on right here, no. But I'm a little bit. I still do. I caught myself in North Carolina a couple times in a little hotel weight room. You know, I'd like to work out more. I really, really would like to work out more. I think it's my biggest beef with putting as much time as in the program as I do is like, man, I'm killing myself in a whole bunch of regards here. So I'd like to get back to it, but I still do. And I monitor what the guys are doing, and I'm still very interested in what happens with them. But no, should I flex right here? What do we got? No.
My daughter had an autoimmune disorder during COVID, so that kind of shut down going to a gym. So I finally signed back up through work, through our insurance. You get a pretty sizable break. So I finally signed up at a gym here in Greensboro, which I really
like. There you go.
It's called Thrive. So I've been enjoying getting back into it. There's just something about being around other people when you're working out. I don't mind doing it by myself, but there's something about when other people are around.
Get you going a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, a little motivation without doubt. I catch myself like to, if I get away from the gym for a while and I go back in there, I always walk out of there going, dude, why aren't you here every day? Like, you're an idiot. What are you doing? Get back to it. You know, look how good you feel. So yeah, man, that's a lifelong thing. I have my mom is 75 years old. She's in the gym now, you know, like for real, like, it's part of what we do. And I'd like to, take care of myself a little bit more. And I think I probably owe that to myself. So I'm trying to find a way. Vacation and health is what I'm looking for. And I guess vacation is part of that mental health for me. So trying.
What are some final thoughts?
I'm a grinder.
What are some final thoughts before I let you go?
Just excited about where the program's at, what we've accomplished, what we can still accomplish. It's just been a really fun year in the regards of meeting some great people like yourself and having the opportunity to be put in front of some cool things. I went out to the AABC, you know, thing out in Dallas this year for the first time, you know, getting on the road, doing that. Saw a bunch of incredible people and people I hadn't connected with for a long time. So it's been a pretty dang fun year in that regard and exciting. And I'm looking forward to some more and just really appreciate all that's come on with it. So it's been fun. Very appreciative.
Good luck with the rest of the time, Andy. Good luck, man. Finish that thing off.
Appreciate it, Ryan. Anytime, anything, always let me know. Great talking to you.
Thank you, sir. You killed
it. Soon.
Atta baby.
Right on, brother. let me know, okay?
Yeah, sorry if you had to get to teaching or whatever. I didn't know how long I had with you, but I hopefully didn't run over.
No, hey, I'm good. You can keep going if you want to keep going. I'm down.
It's perfect, man. Perfect. All right, good luck.
Awesome.
Good luck.
Hear me soon. Okay, all Ryan. Hey, where can I see this?
This will come out in 2 weeks, so I'll text you. Yeah, it'll be on the ABCA website, and it's on Spotify and Apple, too.
Sweet. Awesome, Ryan. Thank you so much.
You got it, sir.
Nice talk
to you. Tell Dave I said what's up. Tell Dave Demarest I said what's up.
I will, for sure. All right. I will. Good, man. Okay, Ryan. I'll talk to you soon.
Yep.
Bye now.
Appreciate Coach Wise for taking time out of his schedule to sit down with me right in the middle of the season. I wish he and the Panthers good luck as they start CIF playoffs. Thanks again to Jim Richardson, John Litchfield, Zach Hale, Matt West, and Antonio Walker in the ABCA office for all their help on the podcast. Feel free to reach out to me via email at rbrownlee@abca.org, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at coachb_ABCA, or direct message me via the MyABCA app. This is Ryan Brownlee signing off for the American Baseball Coaches Association. Thanks, and leave it better for those behind you. Wait.